Happy Sunday and welcome to Prestonwood Live. My name is Jack Raymond. I have the privilege of serving as the online pastor here, and I love getting to personally welcome you as we get started with our Sunday worship service. Well, I hope as you are joining, whether you're on Facebook, Church Online, YouTube, wherever you're watching, jump in the comments right now and let us know where you're joining from. We have one of our staff and one of our volunteer leaders. I want to just personally say, hey, we want to serve you, pray for you in any way. Or maybe you have a praise today. Say, hey, I'm praising God for this answered prayer in my life. We want to be a community online with brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. Truly, truly incredible. Well, Pastor Graham has a powerful message in God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 3. Last Sunday was a word to the husbands. This Sunday is a word to the wives. So make sure you grab your Bible, turn to 1 Peter 3. Go ahead and text, invite a friend, share on social media. But above all, let's prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to worship Jesus together. Because today's a special Sunday, graduating seniors and baptism coming up. Let's worship Jesus right now.
Prestonwood, welcome to church. So glad you're here. Would you stand and worship with us? We remember this morning everything God has done for us.
Those walls that we called sin and shame, they were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now.
This is our God.
This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. So weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail.
Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin?
Nobody but Jesus.
Come on, we sing.
Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? What he does, he
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free, always free. His grace finds me. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Through the sun.
Sons and daughters of God. be heirs with Christ. That is why we gather and we make his name famous. We lift him up this morning. And if you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about today, you're going to get an opportunity to start your relationship with him. Welcome to Prestonwood. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors. Before we do anything else this morning, why don't you find someone close to you and say hello to them. Find your seat as we continue to worship together this morning through believers' baptism.
Church family, this morning we have five following Christ in believers' baptism. This is Leah McMullen. Leah, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted him as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Based on that testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is my man, Ryan Tuma. And this is a very special day for Ryan as well, because 7 years ago today, his parents adopted Ryan. And so we're very excited for you, Ryan. Ryan, are you following Christ in baptism today because you've accepted him as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Based on that testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my little brother, in the Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now we have three sisters following Christ in baptism. This is Lake Walfield. Lake, are you following Christ in baptism today because you've accepted him as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Based on that testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is her sister, Kelty Walfield. Kelty, are you following Christ in baptism today because you've accepted him as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Based on that testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Gemma Walfield. Gemma, are you following Christ in baptism today because you've accepted him as your Savior and Lord? Based on that testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives me great joy to baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bury with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen, church. Isn't that the power of the gospel that we get to celebrate in this place today? Well, church, good morning and welcome. My name is Jason Mick. I have the honor and privilege of serving you as our next gen pastor. To my right, your left, is our minister to high school students, Jordan Wicker. And we're excited to welcome you, along with those who are worshiping with us online today. We are so delighted and grateful to have you here in the room and also online. And then to our seniors this morning, church family, can we just say thank you and welcome to our amazing senior class in the room this morning. If you are a guest with us, I'd invite you to text the word CONNECT to 74788. And as soon as our service is over, if you would, give us the opportunity and the honor to meet you. We'd love to have a visit in our atrium, and we have a gift for you, one of Pastor's books, Courageous Parenting. So swing by the atrium today. We'd love to put that in your hands and an opportunity to get to know you. And later on, after our pastor has a word of prayer, we'll continue to worship with our tithes and offerings and give it back joyfully to the Lord this morning. But in our next phase of this morning, and we've already gathered with these seniors and their families this morning for a sweet time to honor and to recognize them, we also wanted to extend that into this worship service that Pastor so graciously afforded us to do. And so our minister to high school students, Jordan Wicker, has a word for our seniors and their families.
Yeah. Church family, you would be pleased to know that of the almost 100 students participating, seniors participating this morning, that over 60 of them have came to faith and been baptized here in Prestonwood Baptist Church. Yes. Of those 100, there are over 25 that are serving on our student leadership team, which gathers here every morning or every Sunday at 8:45 and does thing behind the scenes. Yes. There's over 10 of them that have indicated that they want to serve the Lord in full-time vocational ministry as a result of the faithful ministry here at Prestonwood Baptist Church. And one other fun one, seeing them take their faith and make it their own, was there is over 50% of the students participating this morning that have gone on a mission trip to make Jesus famous all throughout this country and to the ends of the earth. And so, church family, thank you for your constant encouragement of these students when you see them. I thank you for the prayer support. We feel your prayers. We covet your prayers. We're thankful for those. And so thank you for the constant encouragement that you are to these seniors, students. I'm going to read a passage of scripture over y'all and then tell y'all just how encouraged I am by a couple of things that I think mark your class. It's Psalm 34, 1-8 says this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him from all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Seniors, I'm encouraged by y'all because I think this passage describes y'all. Y'all have taken refuge in him. Y'all have continued to be bold in your faith, in the church, outside of the church, in your school, going on mission trips. We have seen that you have a desire for your friends to know who Jesus are, which is indicated by bringing them on Sunday mornings, bringing them, inviting them to midweek, inviting them to Freedom, to beach camp, all so that you can see them come to know who Jesus is and have an eternal impact on their life. I see that there's a commitment to growing in each of you, indicated by serving at lead team and by y'all constantly being here. And so students, I am constantly encouraged by y'all and by your faithfulness. And there's no doubt in our mind that as you go forth and as you launch into the next phase of your life, that you are gonna make an eternal impact on the world. And so Pastor Graham, would you wanna come up and pray over these seniors?
Yeah, I'll just do it from down here. How about that? Thank you guys, that's great. Great job by our student ministry here at Prestonwood, our children's ministry. Through the years, it's just been wonderful. Maybe I should see the hands of those of you who are graduating that I actually dedicated as a baby. Can I see your hands? Look at that, a lot of you. So that's cool. For me as a pastor, it's one of the great things about being somewhere a long time as pastor. You get to see a new generation and generations to come. And I look here and I see a lot of joyfully, tearfully, happy parents because it's a tender time and the next stage. And I just did a thing taking photos with the kids before the first service, and I was asking a number of them. I said, you know, what's next for you? What's next? I'm going to Arkansas. I'm going to Oklahoma. And I asked one of the young ladies, I said, what's next for you? She said, I'm going to go over there and get that burrito. And I thought about that. That was actually the right answer. You know, the will of God is the thing you're going to do in the next 15 minutes, not necessarily what's way out there for you. And, you know, I would just challenge you young people, as you just heard, to always align your life with the will of God and trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean under your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. So let me just ask all the seniors. In fact, all the seniors and parents, why don't you all stand together with me right here? Just everyone standing and here. Yeah. And let me just pray a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And with that blessing, oh God, we pray that these men and women, young men and women, would indeed receive your blessing and the blessing of their church upon them. Thank you for the years that we've had together as parents and children and church and the children of the church. For those who have come to know you here and others added in because you brought them here. And for every Bible study that's been taught and every prayer offered and every encouragement given and every ministry, every song, all the things that we do with our young men and women, Lord, may it just pour over their souls in these days and prepare them for the opportunities they have in front of them. We thank you that these parents and grandparents have given their lives in support of their children. And so we honor these parents today as these graduates are doing. And we thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from above. We praise you and we thank you. And we dedicate, even as we held some of these long years ago, we dedicated them to the Lord, you, Lord. We now hold them up to you again and we dedicate them to you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's cheer them on and encourage them. Hug them out. Maybe parents, you want to hug it out right now. Go ahead and be seated. I want the ushers to take your places. So men, if you would get the offering plate. I'm hearing a lot of good response, just people saying to me. In fact, our Prestwood Christian Academy High School principal, Chad, was telling me the other day, thank you for bringing the plates back because it helps me not only to give as an act of worship, but to teach my children the joy of giving in a service like this. So most of us probably give online. We do it that way. But even to touch the plate is to pray for the offering, pray for the provision of God upon our church, and to remind us of our responsibility to give to the glory of God. So thank you for giving. Let's worship together.
Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Revive us again.
I can hear many of you singing. You remember that old chorus, don't you? Would you sing that again with me? Let's sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Look around, not alone. He is moving in this room. You are seen, you are known. He is moving in this room. Bring your fears, bring your fears. He is moving in this room. Bring it all, leave it here. He is moving in this room. God moves the heavens and the earth. Is moving in this room.
show your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah is our story. Revive us once again. Fill our hearts with your love as you're moving in this room.
Church in this city, it starts right now, it starts right here as we sing. Come awake.
Come awaken your people, come awaken this city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble, I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people, come awaken the city. Oh God,
we are praying for revival. And we're asking God to move, beginning with you and me, in our hearts, in our nation, in the world. The world is crumbling all around us. This is Passover season for our Jewish friends, and we pray for Israel, Mike, in that they're still hostages and under duress, people of Israel, and our friends in our own communities who are Jewish friends and people around us. So we pray for Israel. We pray for our own nation. We pray for, yeah, I see that flag. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah, so we do. So, Lord, we pray that you would revive your people in the midst of the years. In these years, oh God, we need you. We're desperate without you. And we dare to pray one more time for a great revival to sweep through the churches of America and around the world. We pray for Israel. And we ask that you sustain them with your love and your grace and your mercy. We pray for one another. And we ask that you move in our hearts even today, Lord, because we open our lives up to you and we say, Lord, do your will and have your way in us. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and please take your seats. You know, when I first began preaching as a teenager, about the age of some of you young men in here, and ladies as well, O.S. Hawkins and I, we would often share revival preaching and singing together, and one of our theme songs was what we just sang earlier. I can't believe we actually sang it today, of all days. But hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. And we're so grateful for your presence here today. For those of you online, let me add my greeting to that of Jason Mix earlier. We're really glad that you have joined us today. Well, this is our marriage and family series called The Way Home. And so far, we've talked about foundations for the family way back in the garden, back to the garden, and what happened when God created the man and the woman. And then we talked about love, because love really says it all. All you need is love. And 1 Corinthians 13 was our passage when we talked about what real love is and what real love does. And then last week was a man and his marriage. And we began talking about the relationship that we have in marriage between husbands and wives. And we talked about the responsibility of men and the privilege of men to love our wives as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for us. So it begins in this romance of marriage with a loving husband who is committed unconditionally with love towards his wife and shows it. In that message, I talked about how wives and husbands hear things and say things differently. And in last week's message, I talked about how what women say and what they actually mean when they speak. And some of you remember that. So in fairness to all, today I should introduce this sermon by just talking a little bit about what husbands say and what they actually mean. This is going to help you, ladies, I promise you. For example, what a husband says, when a husband says, is fine, what he means is, it's fine. You see, we're not as complicated, ladies, as you are. When a man says, we can eat anywhere you want, what he actually means is, we can eat anywhere you want. When a man says, when asked, what am I thinking about? Nothing. He actually means nothing. Oh yeah, here's one. When a man says, yeah, that outfit looks great, what he actually means was, we were supposed to be at church 20 minutes ago. You do look good, but honestly, at this point, you could wear the curtains and I wouldn't care as long as we could get out the door. Or here's one. Yeah, a man says, yeah, that's nice. And then he thinks, oh no, she was talking to me? Did that nice make any sense at all? Please, please don't let her ask me to repeat what she said. When a man says, no, it's okay, babe, I can drive. What he actually means is, I really want to live. And when a man says, I love you. Well, here's the way one man put it. What he really means is, he just doesn't know how to say it. You're the most amazing person I've ever met. And honestly, I'm in just a complete state of shock. Every morning I wake up with you next to me. I pinch myself every day because there's just no plausible reason a woman as incredible as you should be with an oafish man child like me. But here you are. But it's hard for me to express my feelings in words. Sometimes as I'm more of a fist bumper and a high fiver. So I'll just say I love you. And hope that you get the message. So wives, all the men here want to say we love you. And we hope you get the message. And your pastor today is going to go where angels fear to tread. Because the title of this message is A Word to Wives. I didn't say a word to the wise, though these are wise words because they're God's words, not my opinion or preference or prerogative. But as your pastor, it's my responsibility to bring you God's word. So what does God say to wives? What's the message regarding this relationship? Now, we already know from last week's message, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, that we as husbands and wives are joint heirs of the grace, the life of God. There is total equality in Christ between a man and a woman. And having said that, a man is then to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife is given specific biblical instructions as to how she is to live and respond in this marriage to the loving guidance and leadership of her husband. It's found in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Likewise, and he's been talking about authority in the government, responding to authority. He's been talking to Christians who were living under the boot of Rome and how Christians are to respond to authority that is over them. You know, when I realized that today was Senior Sunday, this service, I thought about just skipping on and going to the parent-child relationship today. But then I thought, no, this is a message preventatively and purposefully that the men, young men and women who are single, our seniors and others today, need to hear in advance of the relationships they will form later on. And to parents, of course, and to all of us. So I didn't change the message to serve the moment because this is for all of us today. And the issue of authority, that's what we're talking about. One of the most important lessons we can teach our children is to respect authority, to respond to leadership, and to honor their parents, and to honor those, whether it's the police officer or the government, or spiritual leaders. It's a responsibility that all of us grow up to love, honor, and respect those God has placed over us. And that goes for wives. So that's what the likewise is about here. In response to this whole issue of authority in our lives, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, that is, you may be married to a man who is not a Christian, or a man who does not obey the word of God, a carnal, childish believer. If some do not obey the word, they may be won, that is, brought to Christ without a word by the conduct, the behavior of their wives. How? when they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But ladies, younger and older, let your adorning be the hidden person of your heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God, and that's the goal, both guys and gals today, that we would be holy as God is holy. Holy men and women. Women of God, men of God, that you would be holy. How the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah. Christian wives, you're in the sisterhood of Sarah, who obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Do you know what a submissive attitude and spirit does for all of us? It gives us character and confidence that we do not fear anything around us. On top of that is Colossians 3:18, which says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Ephesians 5:33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So interchangeably, the word submit or respect your husband is given. Let's talk about what all that means. First, with the thought of the perfect model of submission. Submission is in the DNA of the Christian. Why? Because Jesus came in humility and submission to the will and the work of the Father. In Philippians chapter 2, he laid aside his dignity in the Godhead and came to earth, and in his manhood, he gave himself to do the will of the Father. We talked about that in last week's message and what that means. The fact is, Jesus submitted to his heavenly Father, but he also submitted to his earthly father and mother, his parents. We're told in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, and he went down with them, Jesus, as a young man, and came to Nazareth and was submissive. Imagine that. The Son of God, submissive to Joseph, submissive to Mary, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. That is, she remembered it and told others about it, the submissive spirit of Jesus. Just before the cross, when Jesus was giving his life on the cross to die for our sins, he was in the upper room with his disciples, and in the moment, he took off his outer clothing, his cloak, and took up a towel and a wash basin, and he washed the feet of his disciples. Some of you have seen a foot washing. I was just told by our head football coach here at Prestonwood, Donnie Yantis, that when we go on our retreat with our football players at the beginning of the year, there's a time of foot washing. Isn't that true? There's a time of foot washing at this. And so maybe you've seen this. So what is that? That's an act of humility and submission, isn't it? And this is what Jesus did. And it says in John chapter 13 that knowing that all things had been given unto his hands, in other words, everything was his. Everything belonged to him. Jesus had it all. He owned it all. Operates it all. Because he is God. All things had been given into his hands. So what did he do? Did he take up his throne? Not yet. He first took up his towel and he washed the feet of those disciples. Imagine Jesus and students here on our campus. You've seen the Jesus statue of washing the feet of Simon Peter. It's a lesson that we want to teach our young men and women always, is the story of Jesus and of his submission. So I give you that to show you, ladies and men, that submission is in our DNA because it is in Christ and we are in Christ. It is humility and respect. The principal meaning of submission is next. What does it mean? It means that we show respect and honor. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And wives, you are to give yourself to love your husband and to respect him and honor him. To submit is to respect in humility. It is to honor. It is to elevate. It is to love. It is to serve. It is to be a helper. And you say, well, that sounds subservient. That sounds inferior. Not at all. To say that the woman is made to be the helper of the man. The Bible says that God is my help. That God is my helper. God himself takes the word helper unto himself. So yes, it is God-like. It is Christ-like. To live in honor and humility towards others. The opposite, of course, is to be rebellious and recalcitrant and resentful and dishonorable and bitter and angry. And we live in a world of self-indulgence and personal fulfillment. And when you talk about submission in this context, people look at you like you lived in the dinosaur era. And it's a cause for conflict in the culture today. And a lot of wives get all nervous when we come to this service, or this subject rather, because frankly, so many have been listening to the world instead of the Word of God. And you don't have to listen to me, but if you are a Christian, you are to obey the Word of God. And you just need to know how to do it. And so that's what we're talking today. Most of the time, what we're missing in relationships, I say most of the time, I'll just make up a number, 99.9%, I think, is because of a lack of humility and pride and selfishness. The proverb says, by pride, only by pride comes contention. Pride creates contention. And so when pride, with the big I, shows up in our marriages, in our homes, then the infighting begins, the fighting begins. And frankly, young ladies, today, you're growing up in an era where we're hearing more and more that every man is toxic and every man is an oppressor. And you are the oppressed. The oppressor and the oppressed. And no wonder so many young women are confused about men and where and what a man is to be and what she is to be in relationship to a man. If you view man as every man as toxic and oppressive, then you're never going to live in a loving relationship with someone else. And that's why, frankly, many women are turning to other things rather than to a man, a godly man, who could love them and show them the love of Christ. So submission, the S word, is not a dirty word. It's the way of the master. It's the way of the Lord. And the picture of submission is as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. I just want to say, this is not all that complicated. Even a man could understand it. What this means. As fitting unto the Lord, your commitment is to the Lord. Your heart is for God. And therefore, you want to obey God even and especially in your relationship with your husband, with your children. As fitting to the Lord. That's the phrase in Colossians 3 that we read earlier, as fitting to the Lord. Now, does submission mean that you as a wife are to obey all the commands and the demands of your husband, even if the commands and the demands of your husband violates God's word? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, in in Acts chapter 5, we're told that we must obey God and not man. Your first responsibility and accountability is to obey God. And if your husband asks you or demands of you that you do something immoral or that you do something illegal, you have no biblical law that would require you to obligate you to do what your husband says. Not one. And never, ever allow a man to lead you into sin. That goes for unmarried women and girls as well as married women. Never allow a man to lead you into sin. You should not submit to that godlessness ever. So, it's important that you love your husband, respect him, and honor him, and follow his leadership, even as Sarah, gives the illustration here of Sarah and Abraham. So all the sisters of Sarah here today. When Abraham came in one day and said, I've been out talking to God, looking at the stars, and God told me, Sarah, that we're to pick up here in Ur of the Chaldees, and we're to leave this place. We're moving, Sarah. And Sarah says, well, where are we going? And Abraham says, I don't have a clue. I don't know where we're going. Says, we're moving, but we don't know. Yep, I just told God that I would believe him and follow him. Said, well, you don't know where we're going or what we're going to do. We're just picking up. We're leaving. We're going. That's right. Now, I don't know what entailed that whole conversation, but after the discussion, Sarah went with her husband. And Abram and Sarah were blessed in their marriage with a son and a child and a birth of a nation. It's very important that if God is leading your husband, if you have a husband who's listening to the Lord, that you follow your husband. And sometimes there's a tip ball and you don't know where it's going. Sometimes there's a tiebreaker. Let your husband break the tie. Most of the time it never comes to that. Because if you have a close marriage and a loving relationship, you discuss these things. I've always done that. There very rarely should be those times where, you know, somebody, the husband or somebody else, has to break the tie. No, you get there together. But if there is, I remember when Deb and I, we were just newly married. We had an 18-month-old son. And we weren't even finished with seminary yet, but I was called to be the pastor of a church in southwestern Oklahoma, a little town called Hobart, about 4,000 or 5,000 people. And I felt the Lord leading us to go and do that. We were settled in Fort Worth, again, a small child. And we went to Hobart. I was still going back and forth to seminary. So I would preach on Sundays and Sunday nights and leave on Monday and stay all week and left Deb, my brand new wife and little baby, in Hobart, Oklahoma, in a small town teaching junior high kids. That was punishment enough. And you know, I look back on those times and that's why I love my wife so much. I never heard her complain about that. I never heard her whine or cry about that. You know, she had every right probably to be upset in some ways. But she loved me enough to trust me in the decision we were making. And that's a decision that many, 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 many of you have made through the years. You've let your husband make the call even when maybe you didn't think it was the best decision. But you loved your husband enough to respect him and to honor him. And let me just say that men really are little boys at heart. And what men need the most is respect, because we tend to think, I'm never enough. I can't get it done. I can't make enough money. I'm not going to be successful. I'm not this. I'm not that. And that's why men need to know that they're respected and honored. Many men, unfortunately, will not lead. And that's a problem. It's a problem when a man is so weak he'll not lead his family, spiritually or otherwise. That's a problem. So what are you to do as a wife? With your conduct, with your behavior, that's what Peter says, with your conviction in Christ, with the conduct that you have. Don't berate him, don't push him, don't beat him with your Bible, but with your life and your lifestyle, show him the love of Jesus Christ. And this can propel him forward. This is what God does in a woman's heart when we yield to him. Men, God holds us accountable to lead our families. And if you're not leading, you're putting your wife's life really in jeopardy. If your husband is passive, pray for him. Wait on God, help him, but don't dominate him. Don't try to control him. Don't usurp your husband's authority in your home, especially in front of your children. Hang on to God's promises, like Sarah. Trust him. It's not your job to change your husband. It's your job to love your husband and to give your life to him. Respect him, because every man needs it. Be affirming and be encouraging, because every man needs a cheerleader. Every man needs an encourager. There are many, many men in this room, including this one right here, who kept going in their lives, their careers, their callings, because their wives have prayed them through and prayed them on and encouraged them. My wife's words matter to me more than anyone on earth. So when we talk about submission, and when it talks about a gentle and quiet spirit here, that doesn't mean you go stand in the corner and wait for somebody to tell you what to do. No. It's the gentle and quiet spirit of Christ himself. But it is in that gentle and quiet spirit that your husband sees your faith and your devotion to God. So one final thing, there is the principal meaning of submission, there's the perfect model of submission, and then there is the precious, what I'm going to call mentality or mindset of submission. Back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Do not let your adorning, that is your outer exterior clothing, be external, the braiding of your hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit." How many of you men and women know that Father Time is undefeated? And there is a beauty on the outside that perishes. That's why somebody, some wag put it, he said, you know, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clean to the bone. But so does beauty go clean to the bone. And that's what he's talking about here. He's not saying don't wear gold or don't braid your hair or don't wear clothes. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, let your exterior appearance be pure and modest. Ephesians 5:3 says, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints." And that is translated otherwise in other versions. That little phrase, "must not even be named among you," can be translated, there should not be a hint, not a little hint, not a little bit of immorality or immodesty about you. And so we always are asking, the choices that I am making, is there a hint, just a little bit, of impurity or immodesty or irreverence? No, not a hint. And that includes our demeanor. And ladies, I'm going to tell you frankly, it includes your dress. It includes the way you look. If you're dressing in tight-fitting, skin-showing, stylish, sexy, hot clothing, that's a hint to somebody. If you wear provocative clothing, to knock somebody's eyes out, then that's a 1 Corinthians 8 to cause a weaker brother to stumble. So I'm here to tell you, young ladies and older ladies alike, dress modestly. That's what this is about. It's about your appearance and your adornment that is one of purity and holiness and godliness. Concentrate on your inner beauty. Yeah, look great, look nice, take care of yourself. All of that is true. This is not a condemnation of doing the best you can with what you got, men and women. But it is saying to women, if you want to last in love, if you want to last in life, if you want something precious in your life, then adorn yourself in a way that honors God. Cultivate the beauty of Jesus in your life. That's what lasts. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. So in my countenance and in my clothing, in my demeanor, in my dress, let everything about me speak of purity and godliness. Who you are as a Christian woman is reflected in your devotion to God. It's your character. And if you, and all the men as well, will work on your character, then your countenance and your clothing and all the rest of that will take care of itself. And as a word to young women as well, Titus 2, 4, and 5 says this. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children. This is the responsibility of the church, responsibility of older women specifically. To train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home. It doesn't mean you can't work outside the home, but it does mean your home is your priority. Your husband and your children first. Means you're going to need extra strength if you work outside the home. You're going to need extra strength to do what you are called to do first. And that's to be the woman of God in your home. To be kind and submissive to their own husbands. What? That the word of God may not be reviled. So if your husband or your children need the Lord, the way to win them is not to lecture them, but to love them. Not to nag them, but to nourish them. Not to push him, but to pray for him. And I believe for most men, the most influential person in their lives is their wives. If their wives are godly wives. And God will give you, ladies, the wisdom you need and the strength you need to be that kind of woman. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Ask the helper to help you, to help him. Not as his competitor, his competition, but his completer. Because remember, the goal in marriage is oneness. The two should become one. So many cases, it's all about the eye. It's all about a lack of humility and honor. I have a pastor friend who was doing a wedding. He had his wedding notes, and in the notes where it says, I take you as my wife to be united to you. He, in the word united, he had misplaced the I. Instead of united, U-N-I-T-E-D, he put the I in the wrong place and it said untied. Is the I in the right place in your marriage? If the I is in the wrong place, then your marriage will come untied. But if it's in the right place, it will be united in Christ. Oneness is the goal. The two shall become one. And as someone said, you can't un-one a marriage. You can't un-one a marriage. If you are married, you are one. You can't un-one. What God has joined together, let not man separate. You can't un-one a marriage. So men and women, let's love together and serve together. Let's submit our lives to Christ and to one another. Then our marriage will be strong for our kids and our kids' kids and the life that is yet to come. And ladies, you do what God tells you to do, and someday, when you're gone, your children and your husband will rise up to call you blessed. And more importantly, so will God. Amen? So would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing. We're going to give an invitation as we always do. We always do it because the whole Bible's an invitation. You can't preach the Word of God without inviting people to know Christ. Jesus didn't come just to be a model of humility. He showed that humility on the cross and died for our sins. And we've all failed. We all have these flaws. We've all sinned against God, and we need a Savior. And we need to be forgiven. And Christ can forgive you of your sins. If your marriage is broken, He can put the pieces back together. He can make you a godly woman and turn you into a godly man if you will give your life to Him. This is marriage God's way. And so the way is to Christ and through Christ. If you will put your faith in Him, He will save you, which is to forgive your sins and come into your life and give you a hope and a future with Him in heaven. So we're going to sing an invitation song, and I'm going to ask that those of you in the balcony, there are ministers upstairs, you can turn around and say to one of those ministers, I want to trust Christ, or the pastors are going to be right here as well. I'm going to ask you to come forward today. I'm going to ask that no one be leaving this service early, because leaving right now is disturbing. And I know you wouldn't want to disturb anybody from making a decision for Christ. What I need you to do is to be a prayer partner. Pray for the people around you. Pray for people who need Christ and who will come to Christ. Pray that people will be revived, that marriages will be revived. And then there are others who need a church home. You need a church family. It's hard enough to do this in the church, much less without a church home, on your own. So come to Christ. We have so many resources for you and your marriage and your family to help you grow in Christ-likeness in your faith. So Lord, take now this time of decision and bring men, women, boys, and girls to faith in You, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you make your way. We're seeing